Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
And welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Radio Network. You're on this Sunday. January. I'm trying to get my head straight on today. January 22nd, 2023. And we want to say welcome one, welcome all to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Saying welcome one, welcome all to the program today, especially our surrounding city estates, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer praises, prayer requests, and any of those good things as we get into our good gospel show today. Just be ready to praise the Lord. Have, as we say, get your praise on without leaving the house here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we're just going to get this show started off right on the right good foot here. Maybe a little better than I started. Hallelujah. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang with you. And we're going to start with an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, right now that you take the wheel of this here program. We ask you, Lord Jesus, have your will in your perfect way, Lord Jesus. As we start into another program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask you to touch Brother Six as he's feeling under the weather, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch him in a special way, Lord Jesus. Now we ask you also to touch that soul who is nearest hell, Lord Jesus. Help him to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, Lord Jesus, bless and do pray so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be, Lord Jesus, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to reach down and touch them and comfort them, Lord Jesus, with your Holy Spirit, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, those dealing with it, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to help raise them up out of the bed of affliction, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus, and heal their bodies, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask for those right now out there, no matter where they may be, Lord Jesus, as we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television set or radio set, Lord Jesus, we've got a lot of dirty, rotten situations that we're in, Lord Jesus. And it's all because of our own sin, Lord Jesus. We ask you to help us to learn to love our neighbors, Lord Jesus, as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, Lord Jesus, who is you. So, Lord Jesus, now we ask and pray that you'd help us to do just that. Help us to meet all these blessings, Lord Jesus, and many, many more than we could ever think and ask for, Lord Jesus. We ask it all in your mighty and precious name now, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, now we're going to get into our scripture reading this morning, and then we're going to see Sister Nikhil, who we got with us today, that might want to let us know how their mental's doing, see how everybody's doing, and then we'll get right on into the program. But right now, let's get into our scripture reading. Amen.
Okay, this is Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. Believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This was Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
All right. And Sister Nikhale, who we got with us, and just want to see how everybody's mental is doing. We'll start with the Queens first today. All right. Got to get our coffee today.
I'm actually doing okay, about maybe at 10.
All right. And I'd have to say I'm doing about a 10 today, doing pretty good.
Sorry. Pastor, I almost dropped the phone. And I'm doing excellent. Hi, Sister Lila.
Okay.
Hi, Princess.
All right. How you doing today, Lila? What's your mental like today?
Oh, I would say probably 4 or 6.
Ooh, well, we'll be hoping and praying that by the end of the show, it'll be doing more better, because that's what we're here for, to uplift your spirit and give you a little peace and joy today through the word, through music. Amen. All right. Who else do we got with us, Nikhale?
That's all.
Okay.
Hello, Nikhale.
Well, we got Emily with us. How you doing? What's your mental doing today, Em?
About the same as Sister Lila's, because I'm not feeling so kosher myself.
Wow. So you're not a pork chop today. Okay, I show you
are
a pork chop today.
Kenny.
You're a pork chop today.
You
yeah, you're not kosher.
I get picked on today, huh?
You're a pork chop at a kosher wedding. Okay.
All right, Kenny, behave.
Well, we're trying to lift your spirits today. All right. So.
You're just being a little ornery, that's all.
Well, all right. What we're going to also do. All right. What we're going to do a little unique today. just before we start into the boogie music, Sister Lila, Sister Emily, what kind of prayer requests you guys got for us?
Well, I got a couple.
All right.
To start off with, especially for me and Sister Emily, to kind of have a good day, to the rest of the day together, especially
all
that.
Right. Yeah, that would be a good one.
And that I could kind of get some time to talk to the social worker tomorrow about looking into this other nursing home here in Madison, see if they could get me into that. It's called Broadfield Manor. It's another nursing home.
It closed down, honey. I forgot to tell you about it.
Oh, never mind. My roommate just told me they closed down, so screw that.
All right.
Yeah. Well, just be praying for me that I could get this apartment where Sis is at.
All right. Well, would your roommate like to say hi to us here on the Six Eyes Radio Network today?
Hello, could you just bless you all?
Said Jesus bless you all.
Okay.
All right, send blessings to her as well.
All right.
Send blessings to you as well. He says thank you, guys.
All right. And
it's
we'll
all
be
my
glad to do that.
Right now.
Okay. Now we're going to have Sister Emily, then the Sister Nicole give us their, Nikhil, I should say, Sister Nikhil, get the name right there, their prayer request.
Kind of got tongue-twisted there for a minute there, Ken.
My coffee hasn't started working totally just yet this morning. All right, Emily?
It hasn't gave you a good kick in the seat of the pants yet.
That's the way it is, you know.
I would say so.
Okay, come on, Emily. What you got for us?
Be keeping my mom in prayer. She called me this morning not feeling to coach herself, so hopefully the 25th, when I get ready to go see her, she'll be feeling better than she is today. She's having quite a bit of pain.
Okay.
I was also asked to put this out there, and this came from my mother. She said to be praying for Six and his family, and to be praying for our princess and her family.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. All right. Now.
All right.
All right.
Yes. Excuse me. May I?
That's
go
what
ahead.
I was going to say. Your
ahead.
Turn, Nikhil.
Okay. My prayer request is for my family as well. My sister, who's been taking care of my mom, was diagnosed with COVID yesterday. She's at home, quarantined, but she has been around my mom. So, her husband and her two girls tested negative, and that my mother tests negative today as well, because her resistance is not good since she has cancer. And the other thing with that is me in prayer, because I found out that when I had my little accident in November, not only did I break my ankle in two places, on the left leg, I also have a bone in my knee that was broken that we just discovered, which I knew, but they didn't see it in the x-ray. They had to do a CAT scan. So it's a little bit of a challenge, but still doing what I got to do, and all is well.
All right. And my requests are, first off, of course, Brother Six, as he's under the weather, and then, of course, for the blind ministry, Six Eyes Radio Network, And just in general, as Six would say, my family, your family, my friends, your friends, my fans, your fans, the world in general, our first responders, nursing homes, military, police forces, and, of course, our politicians. They need definitely need prayer. Amen.
Kenny.
And then your turn, Ruth.
Don't forget Reverend and Mrs. Quick. And also, of course, I'm just praying for everybody else's request.
Missionary Wolfgang.
All right.
My roommate did have a couple prayer requests. Her name is Lisa Dunlap.
Uh-huh.
She wants a prayer for me and her, and also what else?
The residents in the nursing home.
Amen.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Well, with that, what we're going to have Nikhil do as we're all praying over those. Nikhil, you want to give us some good boogie music that we can be praying with and boogieing for Jesus with?
Let's see. Well, I think we should do the prayer and then do the music, because I don't want the words to overcome what we're praying about.
All right. Let me just pray over these requests, and then we'll just – now, of course, Lord Jesus, you know that I'm definitely – nowhere near as good as you. You heard all these names, Lord Jesus. And there's been many requests here this morning, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just take care of each situation, Lord Jesus. First of all, for Sister Nikhil and her broken bone situation, Lord Jesus, and that you continue to heal that situation, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for these people with the COVID, Lord Jesus, that have been brought up, Lord Jesus, that are in quarantine. We ask you, Lord Jesus, for the request for the people in the nursing homes, Lord Jesus. You know each and every one of them, Lord Jesus, name by name and person by person, Lord Jesus. We also ask for the personnel of the nursing homes. Each person, you, Lord Jesus, know. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, for the first responders, police forces, and military, Lord Jesus, as well as our politicians, Lord Jesus, who definitely need your prayers. Lord Jesus, they definitely are not right with you, but Lord Jesus, we still pray for them as they need your touch and your guidance to guide this nation as it should be guided, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for these prayer requests that Sister Lila gave, that her roommate gave, Lord Jesus. As I cannot remember exactly the exact request, Lord Jesus, but you do know, Lord Jesus, each one, Lord Jesus, that you would ask, Lord Jesus, that you would touch them, the situation with her and Emily, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, there was the other request of the housing situation, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch that. Then, Lord Jesus, for Emily and her request, that you touch those. Kind of slipped my mind, but I know one was for her mother, as well as some other requests there, Lord Jesus, so we ask you to touch those. Sister Ruth asking for prayer, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to touch that situation, Lord. And Lord, just basically, we need prayer, Lord Jesus. We stand in the need of prayer. And Lord Jesus, help us to remember, your word says, men ought always to pray and faint not, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that you touch us in this hour. Touch these people that are needing healing. We also ask you, Lord Jesus, those that need an emotional touch, Lord Jesus. Sister Emily and Sister Lila, they're a little bit down today. Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch their emotional state. Help this show to be just that which they need today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for them calling in, Lord Jesus, so that maybe just through the songs and the preaching of the word, Lord Jesus, it will bring them up a little bit, raise up their emotional state and bring up their spirits, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch through your word. through song and the word, Lord Jesus, that you'd help them, Lord Jesus. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would just comfort them as you only can. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to now guide the rest of this program. Touch each person that has a participation in this program. Help them to do their part and do their best. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, what kind of good boogie music you got for us to dance for Jesus?
All right. We're going to get on this program, and we're going to hear a little of Charles Jenkins and the Fellowship Chicago, Just to Know Him, featuring Byron Cage.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Just to know him.
Thank you. waters begin to rain. No, it's a cold in the yard, because it ain't gonna be no more water. Fire next time, 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 fire next time, fire next time. Won't be no more water. It's gonna be fire next time. Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
For sure, for sure. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. You're listening to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Having a good time in Jesus. Amen. So you got some more good boogie music for us in the Kale.
Amen.
Oh, well, it's Pastor Bonnet instead. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. God bless you. How you doing? Yeah, I'm Missionary Ken.
Doing great. Good. Doing great. So we want to introduce our one and only Pastor Kenneth Bonnet from Memphis, Tennessee, as he is ready to bring us the word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, to God be all the glory for the things he alone has done, is doing. He is ever working. Jesus told the people of that day, he said, my Father in heaven is always working. So God is still working on our behalf. He's still making ways out of no way. He's still moving things. He's still fixing, organizing things. And we're just so grateful to have him doing what he does to make our lives better. And so I am glad to be here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, here on the Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. It is indeed a privilege and an honor to be amongst great company of people. Amen. And I'm so glad to be here today. And so
Amen.
Amen. And so I would like to deviate just a small bit here. I want y'all to listen to this worship. As I prepare myself for this message. Hallelujah. Listen to this verse. Good, good Father. Let's worship God together. Hallelujah.
And I've heard a thousand stories. They take your life at all. And the river flows. Head of my head. And you're the your good heart, to you, and I'll love by you, to I am, to I am, we say your goodness,
good to know that God is a good Father. That's why we can cry Abba, Father, because he's our source. That's who we are. We are who he loves. For God so loved the world that he gave. If you know God been good to you in your life, this is the time just to give him your personal worship. Just say to him in your heart, thank you, Daddy.
I love you, Daddy. Thank you for loving me when I wasn't when I was unlovable. You loved me. This is the time we can honor God with our heart, because He looks at the heart of man. And right now is an opportunity for you to just reveal your heart to Him. Lord, you're perfect in all your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways to us. Hallelujah. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. You're perfect in all of your ways. He's a good, good Father. And that's what we serve. We serve a God that's good. We serve a God that's awesome. We serve a God that's mighty. And so today, I just want to start off with acknowledging that God is just a good Father. He's a good Father, and everything He does has a plan and a purpose. And you and I who are born into this world, we're not born by accident, but we are God's divine providence. Whether you got here from one way or another, you are here now. And because you are alive today, there's purpose for your life. And I come today just to tell somebody, you mean something to God. You mean more to God than you can even realize. You are precious in His sight. He loves you, even with all the hang-ups and the hiccups that you still may be struggling with. God still loves you. He loves us. Amen. He looks beyond our faults, and He sees our need. And He's working with us through the Holy Spirit to get us to be better, to be who He wants us to be. There's purpose for my life. There's purpose for my life. And I want you to say it right where you are. I am purposed by God. There's purpose for my life. Hey, my God, today, if you don't get nothing else out of this message today, please get this one thing, that God loves you, and there's a purpose and a plan of God for your life. I want you to be encouraged like never before. I want you to know that this year of 2023, we're going to exercise what the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. It tells us to buy the truth and to sell it not. Amen. And we're going to buy the whole truth, not part of the truth, not my own individual truth that's separate from others, but we're going to buy the truth of God. We're going to buy the truth where we are in life, who we are in life, and we're not going to sell it. And not only are we going to do that, but we're going to get wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to invest in ourselves and start looking for others to invest in us and start looking for others to promote us. But we're going to be all that God called us to be so that God will elevate us in our own due season. We're going to understand like never before that we were planted by God. And because we are planted, we're going to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. That means there's work for us to do. There's something that is inquired of us to do in this world. The Bible said that David served his generation, and afterward he slept. Now, before it's time for us to die, there's some work that we must do. Jesus said it best. He said, I must work of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. We're going to work right now. We're going to do what God has for us to do in this season. We're going to be whom God said we are, because his word cannot return to him void. That means your life has purpose. Beloved brothers and sisters, there's purpose for everything that you're going through.
I know you may be saying, but Pastor Bonnet, you don't understand the hell that I'm going through. You don't understand the struggle that I'm going through. You don't understand how many times I've tried and tried and had faith, and it didn't work. And I just want you to know, the most precious stones in the world, the most precious of all gems, the most valuable of all the jewelry that you can get, they have to be dug up out of the earth. You don't walk around and just see it sitting on the ground. But somebody had to have blood and sweat while they dug and dug and dug and searched for it. Glory to God. And I want you to know that the struggle that you're going through is because you're unearthing something valuable within yourself. That's why your struggle being what it is. That's why it's been how it is. Gold only shine after it has been purified through fire. Glory to God. And the more fire on it, the more it burn away all impurities away from it, so it can shine to a point of giving you a reflection of who you are. And brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, your trouble is to show you that your God is better than your trouble. And your trouble is there to let you know that you can do more than what you thought you can do. Why? Because we are more than conquerors through his name. Glory to God. There is something good in you that God desires to use for his glory. My job is to understand it and put it to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, allow me to decrease so I can get into my message for today. Glory to God. As I go into it on today and share with you the things that's on my heart, I want to talk to men specifically, but women, you're in this message too. But I want to talk to those that God has made for his glory. Amen, somebody. So I want to talk to some people today and allow me just to take my time and to teach this lesson, glory to God, as we get into it. Amen. Our monthly emphasis is purpose. Purpose. So all month long, I've been talking about purpose. Amen. And as I want you to understand, there's purpose for you. You're not somebody accident. You're not a mishap. Even if you have flaws and defects, you're still not a mishap. That God can use you just like you are if you're willing to let him use you. So that's the key. Many times people have asked me over the years, man of God, prophet, how is it that you can do what you do? What it is that you have done for God that you are able to minister like you can and prophesy like you are able to do. And I tell them it's nothing I have done with the exception of saying yes to him, yes to his way, yes to his will, trusting him, and yes to obeying him. My own personal testimony was many years ago in the beginning of me accepting the ministerial call. And one of the dear friends of ours in ministry that's still a friend of mine today, I recognized the prophetic anointing over my life. And she was one of the first ones to begin to acknowledge me as prophet Bonnet. And the gift in me that God had given. And I told her then, I said, don't call me a prophet. I ain't going to be going around lying to people. And the Holy Spirit rebuked me in that very moment and spoke to my conscience and my heart, saying, how is it a lie if you say what I say? And right there, openly, I began to repent and cry out to the Lord. Because he shared with me, if I do what he says, it's not a lie. If I say what he says, he's going to perform his own word. And if I'm concerned about his children, he'll take care of mine. And for nearly 30 years now,
he has performed according to that plan. My children have been provided for. They have been sheltered and taken care of. And all I can do is continue to make sure I empower God's people for better. On this afternoon, as I come to you here in the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee, I want to empower you. Our monthly emphasis, again, is purpose. You say, well, Brother Kenneth, what is purpose? What is emphasis? Thank you. Appreciate your answer. Asking the question, let me answer. Emphasis is a special importance or value or prominence given to something. So we want to put value on something today. We want to put a special importance on something today. And that special importance is the word purpose. Well, preacher, what is purpose? Okay. Purpose is the reason for which something is done, or for the reason something is created. It is the reason why something exists. Every car that was built, it was built to be driven. Every motorcycle that was built, it was built to be ridden. Golf clubs that are made to be swung. Footballs that are made, they are made to be caught and ran with. Soccer balls that are made, they are made to be kicked around. Those material things that are made for purpose. You and I are made for a purpose. Men are created by God on purpose to do something. The question here is, what are we to do? Well, the word do applies to the word duty. What is the basic duty of man? Well, when I say man, I mean mankind, not just men. The male gender. Mankind, there is a purpose for us in our existence. I know that question is so hard for so many people to answer for their one self. Nevertheless, God's word has given us the correct answer and the perfect place to start answering all questions surrounding duty and purpose. Join me as we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. That's right, Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you time to find it. And if you got a digital device, it is spelled E-C-C-L-E-S-I-A-S-T-E-S. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. I think you're going to like this, Missionary Ken. I'm quite sure you are very well familiar with this verse. It is a conclusion. In other words, after we have sat around and tried to figure this out and figure that out, here's the conclusion. After we have tried this and tried that, here is the conclusion. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, two verses here, verse number 13 and verse number 14. The word of the Lord reads, verse 13, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let us hear, open your ears, listen, let, I told you that word is, that word let, I taught y'all last year that word let is a creative word. And that word let is something that you have authority over. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, for your study sake, go back and read all of chapter 12. But we're just going to stay right here in verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Wait a minute, brother preacher. That sounds too simple. You mean to tell me after all of this hustling and fussing, after all the struggle, the duty of man is just to fear God and keep God's commandments? That sounds too easy to do. And if it sounds easy to do, then we must ask ourselves the question, why are we still struggling? Verse 14 says, because he now come with the why. You know, that's something when you're raising children and they're at 2 and 3 and 4 years of age, somehow or another they learn the word. And if ever there was a three-level word that can get on your nerves, it's why. Because you could tell them to do stuff and they want to know why. Clean your room, why. Pick up your clothes, why. Make your bed, why. Put on your shirt, why. Why. Tie your shoes, why. Put on your socks, why. So many things you're telling them to do, and it seems like it's almost automatically coming out their mouth. Why?
Why?
And we begin to say in ourselves is because I told you.
Why?
A lot of times you get to the point where we say, I told you so. Just why? Just do
why?
What I said. And so we ask God so many times, why? God tells us in his word to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we want to know why. Well, God tells us in his word this and that, and we want to know why.
Why?
To see first the kingdom of God, and we want to know why. Verse 14 tells us why. It is simple. For God shall bring every work. How many works? All of it. God shall bring every work where? Unto judgment. See? Thing. But we're not talking about getting into heaven now. For God shall judge every, that means the stuff that you did that don't nobody else see you doing. You know, that stuff that you said in your heart that you don't think nobody is paying attention to. Mm-hmm. The secret hatred you have towards others. Mm-hmm. The quiet disrespect that you have towards authority. Because it's a secret thing. Verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Father God, bless this truth as I do my very best to share and explain how you gave it to me so that we may be blessed by it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Two steps. A lot of times we can have a five-point sermon, three-point sermon, but I'm just going to give you these 2 points. Because in the text, he gives us 2 things. Fear God. Keep his commandments. In other words, if God said it, that settles it. It has nothing to do with how you feel about it. It has nothing to do with whether you agree or disagree. Many times growing up, our parents would tell us to do X, Y, or Z. Sometimes we had to do X, Y, and Z. And we felt like, well, my other sibling is not doing this, or they're not doing that. And we will question and have the why, and we will be, that's not fair. But the end result will still be from the parent, do what I say do. And because of chastisement, many of us grew up with a reverence for our parents, a natural fear. Not as if we were scared when they entered the room, but a fear of disappointing them, a fear of not living up to what they told us to do, what they have taught us to do, who they have taught us to be. 2 steps here in the scripture. The first is to fear God. Brother preacher, please explain that just a little bit more. Well, let me give you the second one, and then I explain the first one. And the second one is to keep God's commandments. So what does it mean to fear God? It is to revere God. Yes, we are to be afraid of God, but we are also to be at awe with God, or to be awed by God. You know, when you see something that was amazing for the first time, and you're like, oh my goodness. You know, the first time you went to a circus and you saw somebody go from one trapeze and leap with no net up under them to the hands of somebody else, you were like, oh. The movement of God in this world, God's hand in human life, the very nature itself should move us in awe of God. God is to be feared, but he is to be reverenced. He is to be honored, and he is to be respected. A lot of times, I don't go by the title of Reverend, but every now and then somebody will say Reverend Bonnet, this or that, or Reverend Kenny, this or that, and so and so. And when they respect me or honor me, it is not me, but it's the God in me. Because it says to them, or it says to me, that I live the way that they can respect the relationship that I have with God. And because they respect God to a certain point, even if they're not saved, when they respect me, they actually are respecting God because I represent God. That's why it's so important for us as believers to have a public view of worship, of relationship. It is important for others to see our interaction with Father God
not just the great deity in the sky that looks up, looks down low and judges all that he's seeing. We have a personal God. Yes, he is national. Yes, he is worldly. For the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. But it is important for them that don't know him to know him through our interaction with them. That's purpose number one. That is purpose number one. That we, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but that we who are in his image, who are shaped in his image and after his likeness, we that calls ourselves Christian, that means to be Christ-like. Now, Lady Bonnet, I love her. And we be black Americans. Y'all may want to say African American. But we would have had a real problem if my son or daughter would have came out without any melanin in their skin. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. Because I'd have been looking for something that represent me and not someone else. And when we say we belong to God, the world is looking for something godly. They're looking for behavior that's not necessarily common in their everyday action or interaction with other people. They are looking for the love that we say God is. We say God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And so they're not looking for us to have a bad day. I don't say we can't have a bad day, but should we have a bad day, all people have a bad day. But there should be something different between your bad day and that don't know God and my bad day who do know God. See, there's a difference between two homeowners that own their home, but one have insurance and the other don't. And a fire break out and burn down both houses. Now, the one that has no insurance or is faced with a continuation of paying a bill without a product. But the one that has insurance, it don't have to worry about their continuation of paying their bill because they have a substitute, an intercessor, that's going to come in and rebuild that which was torn down. So it's not necessarily a bad thing when we go through a storm in life. It's not necessarily a bad thing when we go through hard times and hardship in life. Many storms are bad. Great hurricanes of our day have came in and wiped out whole cities and neighborhoods and destroyed all of these things. Those that had insurance didn't have to worry. But because they had insurance, they knew that their property would be rebuilt. The only thing they had to do is endure the cleanup. And the trouble is many of us, we go through storm, and that is not when we fall. We fall out during the cleanup time. And during the cleanup time is not the time for you to walk away from
God. During the cleanup time is not the time for you to bail out on God, but just to hold on. It may not seem like what you like right now, but if you hold on sooner or later, you're going to be restored. Sooner or later, you'll be made brand new. Yes, you may have been born with this issue and that issue, but if you trust God long enough, the old folks used to tell us, you'll understand by and by. Keep on living. Watch God work for you. Watch God deliver you. Watch God work it out for you. Don't let go. Although it may be breaking, seem like it reach beyond your breaking point, grab hold of some new faith. Grab hold. How do you do that? You keep reading the Word. Faith, hearing and hearing of the Word of God. You don't bail out from church. You don't leave the congregation. You don't leave the fellowship. But you hold on because help is coming if you just hold on and don't let go. Keep trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and all thy mind and soul. And lean not to thy own understanding. Because sometimes your understanding is the misunderstanding of the circumstance. And that's why we have to buy the truth. Because some things we have dug ourselves. Some things we have put ourselves in positions that we shouldn't have been in, but we did it to ourselves, and there's a price to pay. Yes, there's grace for us, but there's a price to pay because for every action, there's many times the opposite and equal reaction. And too many times we don't want to pay the cost for our wrongdoing. But after all, but that's what repentance really means. That's what it is to truly turn, to rethink. We have to go through the process having overweight issues, drug issue, alcohol issue, bad relationship issues. There's a process that you have to go through to being made new again. Yes, Jesus made your soul renewed. Fix it. Your body has gone through some things. Make sure y'all leave that board alone and clear. Because everything that I'm preaching needs to be heard. And there need not to be any interference with the Word of God. And there's some things that we must face the truth about so that God can bless us all the way. There's some things that we must come to terms with. Sometimes we act like Jonah. We know what God has said for us. Because it's unfavorable. Because it's not in the spotlight. And maybe because it's no financial, so where you think there's no financial gain in it for you, you don't want to do it. Because you're not looking at the total picture. You're just seeing the right now moment. And your right now moment has nothing to do with your later on moment. And you have to learn how to make your right now moment a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. A stepping stone to build on and to build towards. Many of us want people to support us, but we don't support nobody. We want people to trust us, but we don't trust nobody. We want them to believe in us, but we don't believe in ourselves. And how can I do more for you than you are doing for yourself? You ever try to get a bank loan to build a business? You can have the plan written out. You can even have certain geographical are planned to gather certain customers to help build that business. When the bank is asked to give their money towards your vision, your goal, your idea, they want to know two things. Number one, do you have any collateral? Anything of worth. Number two, they want to know is what or how much have you given towards it yourself? Because if they're going to sink their money into it, they need to know and understand that you've already spent personal money. You've already invested yourself into it already. And a lot of times we don't understand the simple process. And we fall back on, they just hating on me. Don't nobody believe. It's not that they don't believe. There's a process, because anything that's going to be built must be built on purpose. There's a set plan for it. And if you're going to build a ministry, if you're going to build a home, if you're going to build a relationship, a marriage, a family, if you're going to build anything of significance, there's a process to it. And you must do it on purpose. You must do it on purpose. You don't wake up one morning and find yourself a millionaire. Somebody in your family died and left you that money. But I'm almost sure. It's going to have some stipulations on it. The money may be put in what they call a trust. Why? Because you haven't proven yourself to be trustworthy yet. So the money be put away so that you don't splurge it, so that you don't blow it all away, because you haven't learned management skills yet. You haven't disciplined yourself to handling business yet. So there may be some stipulations on it that you must learn this, like go to school and finish or accomplish this before the bulk of the money is released to you. They siphon out so much of it for you, little bit by little bit. And many times that's how God has to deal with us. Our Father is rich with houses and land. Because we won't clean nothing, take care of nothing, we can only stay in an apartment where somebody else has to cut the yard, where somebody else is responsible for the maintenance, because we won't do none of it. But we're still praying for a mansion. The Bible tells us to despise not the days of small beginnings. That means just because it's little, don't you despise it. We know the story, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. There were three individuals that was given talents, money. And as the master left to go to a foreign country, he left them in charge of certain money while he was away. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1. He gave it to them based on what they was already doing. He gave to them based on what he's already observed them to be able to handle. So it wasn't for the one that says he got 2 talents, well, why didn't he give me 5? It wasn't for the one that had 5 to say, he gave me too much. Because the scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. And we don't want to be like the one with the one talent. We don't want to be responsible for the one because of misunderstanding in our mind. We know the story, 5 deviled his to 10, and the one with 2, he deviled his. He became with 5. And the other, he ran and hid it. He dug a hole and hid the money. What's the conclusion? The conclusion was that the master came back and he said to the one that hid it, after he seen the other two give their increase from them working what was given them, I knew you was cruel and hard and reaping where you ain't sown and doing this and doing that. False praises. And I feared losing it. But because I dug a hole and here it is. Here's what you gave me. Here's your money back. And that's what we do when we don't utilize the gifts and the talents that God has given us. When we die, we give him back only what he gave us. And we didn't do the first command. We wasn't fruitful and multiplied. The Bible said that the master said to that man, "You wicked and perverse servant." Wicked and perverse. He said, "If you knew all of that about me, you could at least gave my money to the bankers so it could have drawn some interest." In other words, he said, you could at least put it in a system that would have returned at least a little bit. He said, it didn't have to double. It didn't have to triple. But it did have to grow. And I want you to think about you that's saved today, that say you are a Christian, that you know that you have received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Are you on the same level that you was on 5 years ago? Have you been saved at least 5 years? Are you on that same level, or have you grown at least a little? Don't tell me you've been saved 10 years and you still can't witness to somebody the love of God. Tell me you've been called to minister, but it still takes you a month to prepare a message. We must grow. Why? Because that's why we are planted here, child or infant. And 6 months later, that child haven't put on any weight, and you've been feeding it every day, changing the diaper, washing and taking care of it, we're going to have some concern. 7, 8 months come around, and that child still haven't put on no weight, and still just as small as it was when it was first born. Still 7 or 8 pounds. We're going to go to the doctor and say, look, doctor, I've been feeding the child. I've been talking to the child. I've been loving. Something is wrong. They even talk about the toddlers now that when they are not growing, they want to give them Pedicure so that they can have the nutrients that they need so that their body can grow. Because if there's no growth, something is wrong. And the truth of the matter is what we must understand. We must acknowledge why we're not growing in God. And it may be something as simple as we have fear in the place where love's supposed to be. But if we will allow love to take the place of fear, the word says perfect love casts out fear. So the greater our love can be, the more fear can be taken away from us that hinders us from obeying God who gave us purpose. And I don't know where all that came from. Somebody needed that. I don't have none of that in my notes for the past 5 minutes. Two steps. First step is to fear God. The second step is to keep his commandments. What does it mean to fear God? It is to revere, to be afraid, also to be at awe, or to be awed, reverent, honored, and respected. Therefore, we must have a good understanding of ourselves so that we don't misuse our bodies given to us to have dominion in this world. When we are under any kind of control outside of the one God gave us, our free will, the only being, that should override our own personal will is the will of the Father. Let me break it down. Can't help it we have. And if we don't deal with them, they will begin to have more and more control over our bodies to eventually it push us into a state where we have disease in our bodies, affliction in our bodies, issues with our bodies. And these things come from the lack of us doing our part. Now, I didn't say only, because there's some genetics stuff that's passed down to us from our mothers and our fathers. And so some of us are born with certain things, and we must be honest about them, but just because we're born with them don't mean we have to die by them. I told y'all years ago, many of y'all have heard me testify about Mother White, one of the mothers in the church, and how she has stage 3 cancer, and she's still here today. And many have died in her family. She buried family members that was healthy, buried family members that come up with this or that disease, heart attack, stroke. When they thought she was going to go, but she's still here. So just because you have an illness, just because you have a disability, don't mean that illness or disability have to cost you your life. You can live an abundant life. Just because you were born poor, don't mean you have to die poor. You can be born a certain way, but you don't have to die in a disadvantage.
once you receive God, because God is the advantage. Greater is he that's where? Within than he where? Than he that is in the world. When you receive salvation, I'm going to take this term from the world, you just leveled up. Whatever your life was before you received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, whether it was good or whether it was bad, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you, my brother, you, my sister, have just leveled upward. And so long as you obey the Holy Spirit, you'll keep leveling up and up and up so that you may fulfill all of God's purpose concerning your living. So we must understand who we are so that we don't misuse our bodies. Your bodies wasn't meant for prostitution. Your bodies wasn't meant for drug use and abuse, physical abuse of any kind. He gave us dominion because to affect change in the earth, you must have a body. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image God created he, him, male and female. Created he, them. What does this verse mean in Scripture? It first means there's a difference between the male and the female. Both, although are called man, have different responsibilities. Let me help you, sister. Stop trying to be the man. My mama was a young mother. She got married and divorced still young. She never tried to be daddy. She simply focused on being mama. She didn't devalue daddy because she had two boys. And if she would have devoured him, she would have been devaluing us. And you got to be careful, those of you that have children and you're unwed, or the father have gone. And even the rare occasion where the father is raising the children and the mother is gone or out the picture for whatever reason, you can't be destroying their image. Because you raise a different nature in them that you don't know how it's going to behave. My mother never taught us hate. So when I experienced prejudice, it was a shock to me. Because we grew up with so much love. But because we knew who we were, because I had a strong identity of me, I didn't let that dictate the rest of my life. Nor did I allow it to change how I behaved towards others. Moving right along. How much time I have here. Okay. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, but there is one thing I want you to know. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is man. Sisters, stop fighting that. Men, stop fighting that. You may be the head, but you have a head. And all of us that are part of the body of Christ, Christ is the head. Let me keep on reading. But there is one thing that I want you to know, to understand, to be clear about. The head of every man is Christ. How many men? Everyone. Even the ones that don't want to accept it. And the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. That's the Father. Verse 8. For the first man didn't come from woman, but the first woman came from man. You know the story. After God had put Adam to work, Adam was working. And after Adam had been working, God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for him to be by himself. Let me make him a helpmeet. He put Adam in a deep sleep, opened a wound in Adam's side, and took out a rib bone and made for Adam a wound woman, a wound man, a one man. And I told you before, and I say it again, that's why ain't no such thing as a girl inside of a boy. God already took that rib out. So young men, act like men. Act like the male that God gave you. You ain't got to be all gung-ho and macho and want to shoot everything down. That's not the scope of just a man. But to round it off for you, a man's yes is yes and a man's no is no. And a person of integrity who stands on principles. Verse 9, and man was not made for woman, but woman was made for man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Read it at your leisure, in your leisure, verses 2 through 16. This deals with public worship, how we to behave in the eyes of the world. So in the eyes of the world, sister, you should not be disrespectful to your husband. You got an issue with him, deal with it at home. Out of the eyes of the public. And all you sisters saying, well, what about him? When he cut up, he got God to deal with. Christ would deal with him. Because if he's out of order, he's misrepresenting Christ. And for men that does that, that carry the cross, God always deal with them. And if they do it publicly while they are representing God, he deals with them publicly. So many men of God that have been up on a plateau that disrespected God openly, their sin was known openly, God dealt with it. But the private sin, he dealt with privately. Case in point, David, who the word said that he was a man after God's heart, a man that was after God's own heart. That what scripture says about him. One time during the time of battle, David didn't go to the battlefield.
He stayed back the women folks and children. And just so happened, one day, looking out his balcony, he saw something that was good to him. And he inquired of her, and when it was told who she was and whose she was, he should have stopped, but he did. He sent for her, knowing that he was a king and he had authority as king over all citizens under his kingdom. Long story short, he had intercourse with the woman. It produced a child. He tried to cover it up and wasn't able to cover it up and had the woman's son, had the woman's husband killed. And he used his enemies to do it. See, just because you didn't pull the trigger, just because you didn't get them fired, but you used your resources to tear them down. You used your enemy to tear them down. You got to be careful. So a life was taken, and in that time, it was an eye for an eye. So a life was taken, so a life was owed. It was owed because when the prophet came to him and told him a story about a wealthy man who had something, had livestock, and a poor man who only had one livestock, and how the wealthy man took the poor man's one little livestock. David didn't say, oh, man, we're going to make him pay tenfold to the poor man. Nope. David said, oh, he's going to die. He passed judgment. And the prophet says to him, O king, you are that man. But because it wasn't done in the public eye, God dealt with him privately. But the prophet told him, said, God done covered you. The child from this union won't live. And David fasted and prayed for the life of the child so much that they was afraid to even talk to him. But once the child was dead and the life was ended, he stopped praying and he stopped fasting. He washed, changed his clothes, and got back to business as king. They said, how did you change so quickly? He said, who was it to say if God wouldn't have changed his mind? While the child was yet alive, my prayers, my petitions, my fasting. But once the child ended, life ended, that means that judgment has already gone through. Some of us, we are praying for stuff God already judged. We need to move on. King before him, sinned twice openly in the eyes of the people. And God said, because you have done this, you have taught the people how not to respect my authority, I have removed you and your lineage from being king. So the sins of the father can pass down from generation to generation. That's why we need to know the truth about who we are. Kingdom was stripped from him as king. Yeah, he ruled as king for many, many years. But it had his dynasty ended. because as king, his job was to keep God before the people. When you are in a place of authority, the reason why Samuel became a great prophet, because Eli had failed his duty and allowed his son, Hophni and Phinehas, to rape people, to steal from people. And he did not deal with them according to the law that he had responsibility as being the chief priest. He didn't deal with them. So God dealt with him and them two wicked sons. Killed them openly. So, sisters, you ain't got to worry about the man. When Saul was trying to kill David, and David had caught Saul dead to right twice and proved that he had the opportunity to kill him. And he said to them, it is not for me to touch God's once elected Saul king. And David said, it's not my job to remove him. And the problem is we put our mouth on things that God had allowed and we don't know it. And we wonder why things don't work right with us. That's because we're trying to do God's job and he know how to do his own job. Our job is to stay in our lane. Just like the young man that had the one talent, all he had to do was work what he had. Not worry about who had what and how much. And it would have been well with him. And that's how we falter, because we're so focused on other people's duties till we don't uphold our own duty. We must uphold our own duty first. What the scripture says, how can you put out the moat around your brother and have not put out the beam in your own eye? We can't be so focused on pointing fingers till we don't realize that there's three more fingers pointing back at us, and it's coming from us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he will deal with us. And that's why I said this message is for men. Yes, women, you got your part in there. But I'm talking to men. Because if men uphold their duties, we would have had no need for a women priest. Just women prophets. And women laborers. But because men wouldn't step up to do what they were called to do, felt the need that somebody got to stand up. Now, I don't care if you don't like that. I'm in the book. If you don't like it, tear it out. You're going to have to tear the whole chapter out, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us this is public worship. And you can study it any kind of way in any translation you want. And you see the responsibility falls on the man, the male gender of the race called man. Amen. And if you can't say amen, say ouch. I'm going to keep on moving. first man, Adam. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and man became a living person. NLT, excuse me, Genesis 2 and 7. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a live person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit, was the spirit. He was the spirit that got us disconnected from God. But Christ is the spirit that reconnects us to God. And that's why we say you must be born again, born of the Spirit, because they that worship God, the Father, must worship him in spirit and in truth. So many times we want to say, I'm just having, I'm just a human being. No, we are spirit beings in a human body. That's why when this body dies, the first death for it is the separation of the body and the spirit. And it is because we have a soul, our spirit do not die. Because it is the very breath of God. But it is disconnected because of the sin of Adam, who is the first man, which all seeds come from. So it doesn't matter whether you're white, black, yellow, red, green, or blue. If you're a human being, you came from one seed, Adam. Ain't no cross races. Ain't nobody evolved from another being. None of that foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 48, and I'm done. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, as much as ye know that your labor, when we talk about the whole duty man, that your labor is not in vain, where? In the Lord. So only what we do for Christ will last. And everything that we do for Christ, it is never in vain. And whatsoever right, God will repay. Serving the Lord is right. And it will pay off after a while. You may not see it today, but sooner or later you will. And some things you're working towards today is for the generation to come. As on last Monday, we played a message from Dr. Martin Luther King that many haven't heard. It was a precursor how he was sharing about many wasn't going to make it. And he was one of the ones that did not make it because he was assassinated. But racial barriers was able to be brought down because of people who continued to work. That one time didn't do it. The work had to continue. The foundation had to be laid. If I clear off a piece of land and I lay the cornerstone and I smooth out the foundation, it's not a building until the roof is attached and everything is closed up. Filling purpose in our life.
And the more we hear God's word, the more we study who God is, and the more we invest in our future, in learning our skills and our talents, the more fulfilled we will be in knowing that we have fulfilled the purpose and why God has us here. God don't need everybody to be a good preacher. But he do need some good mothers. He do need some good fathers. He do need some good brothers and sisters. He needs some good aunties and uncles and grandparents. He needs some good marriages to represent what marriage should be about. So sometimes we just don't know the bigger picture because we have tunnel vision of our own right now. But if we could hold on to hope, the word says, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To give you. God bless you. Thank you for listening today. I surrender the mic back over to Missionary Ken, who introduced me. God bless you. I love you all with the love of Christ. If you are somewhere and there's a local church and they're preaching the Bible, make sure you join somebody's church. If you want to receive salvation today and ask God to come into your heart, let them know. Write us so we can be a witness with you. We want to congratulate you in establishing true faith in God. We love you. God bless.
Amen. That was a good message there, Pastor Bonnet, and want to say I enjoyed that very much. Especially talking about the point that you made about we have this purpose, and especially about men supposed to stand up and do their part, because otherwise, hey, the woman has to stand up and do their part, and that is so very true. Okay, it is that time. We're going to open the mics here. 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617 on the Sunday Gospel show here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. What kind of takeaways do you have for Pastor Bonnet? Any questions, comments that you may have? So who do we got with us, Sister Nikhil? We have takeaways with us.
All right. We have Queen Nicole, Sister Nicole. I believe this is First Lady Bonnet. And
all right.
Let's see.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Glad
how
to have
you
today.
And I think this is
God
either Sister.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Glad to have you.
Thank you, Brother Kim. Thank you, Sister Mikhail. God
You're
bless
welcome.
You all. I love you all.
Love you too. God bless you.
Thank you. Love you too, baby.
All right. What kind of takeaway you got for us today?
Well, I'll go ahead and get my takeaway. I enjoyed the whole message as well. And when you was talking about the male figure being the head, Christ is head, but the male is the head of the home or of the female in his role, and also understanding that we as women have our role too, as the man's help meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought about the fact that sometimes you run into people who don't understand their roles or where they're supposed to be. So when you was talking about how the women are trying to be the fathers, or the mothers are trying to be the fathers, and the father figures are trying to, you know, play that role as the mothers. We all have our individual role. And so I enjoyed that part of the topics.
Amen. Anyone else got a comment? Amen. Take away, brother. Amen. I ain't trying to start up another sermon. Anybody else got a takeaway, something that you took away from the message? Amen.
Well, Pastor Bonnie, I don't know if it's going to be off the subject, but you had brought up Mother White. And when you brought her up, she lost two children, too, at the same time. She went through cancer, and both her children got killed. And she had to do a funeral with two sons. And that woman of God had went through so much, but then she always stayed. And she would always be a mother to other people. You know, after she lost both her sons, her two children, and lost them at the same time. But then she became, I'm sorry, I'm about to cry. She became a mother. I mean, she became the mother of the church. And she became my godmother. So, I just had to bring that up because you brought her up. But how she stood, you know, and I know y'all talking about me and Sunday, but God allowed her to be a mother in the midst of with two sons, and she became not a man, but she became a representative of God. God bless everyone.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Someone else. Amen. I hear Sister Nicole.
Amen. Another point I wanted to bring out that was interesting, too, when Pastor Bonnet was talking about men being men and women being women, I was surprised. He says, well, hey, I'm not going to bring in this other thing. He's talking about, you know, men being he almost talked about the point about, like, the LGBTQ thing. One point that most of them fail to get is all it takes is a good x-ray. Okay? No matter what they change their body to be, all it takes is a good x-ray. Because a man, they're born a man, a man always has one more rib than a woman. Any x-ray will show that.
Yeah.
It's one less, right?
Yeah, the man has one less rib than a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they also can
tell medical fact.
And they can tell the difference between a male and a female in the pelvic bone. Because women are designed to have babies, their pelvic bone is designed different from the male because they have to give birth. And so there's a difference there. Well,
right.
Okay, so you know how they have the people that be saying that they got two genital parts.
They have to stick to one gender, and many of those are devoted unto God. The scripture talks about them when it mentions them as eunuchs, and it tells them many their purpose was to be totally dedicated unto the Lord, and those that they chose. Once they made a decision
That's the decision, and they could not do anything other.
All right.
Yeah, I gave that answer many, many years ago, researching it in Scripture. And because a lot of stuff has happened because of man's interference with genetics.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. So glad to be here this morning and asking prayer for Six. He's under the weather. I don't know if you all are aware of that. He's in here, but his voice, he feels you guys won't hear him well because he's under the weather. But nonetheless, my takeaway for today, Pastor, you said that genetics, speaking on genetics, that how, like when you were speaking of diabetes and high blood pressure and other attributes that might come down the line genetically, and you were saying how we started out doesn't have to be the way that we end up. And I praise God for that because it means so many things just on different levels. And the difference is in what the Lord says, that his people were being destroyed because of lack of knowledge of him is the difference in all these things. You said that we must come to know ourselves, come to understand, like, who we are. So I just want to say thank you. God bless you for being here every week, throughout the week, as all of you are, getting the word out to edify the people, which includes myself. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's definitely important for us to understand who we are, whose we are, and those two things springboard us to understanding our purpose. Knowing who we are, whose we are. And without those two springboards, it's very difficult to understand purpose, your purpose, because you'll be trying to relate it to what you see. And no matter where you were born as a human being, you can see every monkey swinging by their tail, but you'll never be able to swing by no tail because you don't have no tail. And so, but it don't mean you won't try. And so a lot of times we try to do things that we see others do, not realizing we weren't even designed to do what we saw everybody else do. And so we are born certain ways, but we don't have to die from that way. And I do know there are exceptions where people are born with certain illness and they die with it. They die with it, but they don't necessarily have to die from it.
Amen.
The healing power of God is so miraculous. And God can do so many things in a blink of an eye. The main thing is for us to understand that so long as I keep God in my three-dimensional box, he can never take me out of that box because I built it. But if I ever take God out of my three-dimensional one-way thinking and understanding, he can show me the world by taking me out the box so that I can see there's so much more around us. I'm quite sure that when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they may have thought that was the whole world until their consequences got them pushed out the garden. And then later on, if they had children, their children began to spread out. And they found out the land was big. So, anyway.
Amen.
All right. So, is everybody ready for the Bloodhound of Scripture today?
Amen.
All right. Well, let's see who may have it today other than Pastor Bonnet. Let's see who can come up with it. And here it is.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
And you notice, there were certain angels who left their first estate. These are obviously the angels who left with Lucifer, or Satan, when he fell. Amen. And we'll hear that verse once again.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
And you notice also, the Bible says that God, he has taken these angels and put them in everlasting chains ready for their last judgment. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
The book of Jude.
All right, does anybody know where that is?
It sounds like
the book of Jude, verse 6. Amen.
Say that
Amen.
Again.
She got it.
I believe that is Jude chapter 1, verse 6. Amen.
You said it right, Jude chapter 6. And I ain't number one chapter.
Yeah.
Jude
and 6.
But verse 6, right? Verse 6, right?
Yep, Jude and verse 6.
Okay, amen.
You got that right. That is a very interesting one. Now, so for next week, now this one kind of gives itself away as to which book, but beware, it is a pepper trap. And here's what you got to sniff out for next week.
Amen.
But Job answered and said.
Ooh, so we know Job answering somebody, and he says something, but what does he say, and to whom, and where? And we'll hear that again. Amen.
But Job answered and said.
Yes, yes, yes. Job answered, and he said. Also a good way to learn a very simple verse for you little ones. Job answered and said, so you can memorize that. Amen. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
Wow.
Job answered and said.
So there you got it. Job answered and said.
You got my brain tingling. You got my brain tingling.
That is a pepper trap.
Tingling. I'm ready to go to it right now.
That's a pepper trap.
That is
yes.
a pepper trap. Beware of the pepper to get you a sneeze.
That's a pepper trap. I can't tell it.
I'm ready to go to I'm going to look this up right now. Okay.
I know.
You got my brain tingling. You tickling my brain right now. Okay.
Oh, I got y'all going, did I?
You did, Brother King. You got me going.
No, there's a very big hint in there where it's at.
Definitely between the old and the new.
Don't you even hint to it no more.
I know we really did it this week.
Say it again, some room out of here. Say it again. Say it again, some room. Say it again, out of here.
No I said, get your
wife between the front and back covers.
Hey, can you get your wife?
Say it again, Sister Ruka. I did not hear it.
He said it's between the front and back covers.
Yeah, pretty much. But there's an actual name in there that everybody knows, and you kind of get an idea where it's located.
We got that. Yes.
You,
yes.
Oh,
yes,
amen.
You,
okay, Sister Ruka. You in there.
Man,
I just thought I'd have a little fun with you, darling.
I love you, Sister Ruby.
All righty.
Yeah.
Can we sing
but like I said,
song now?
We helped you out. It's between the front and back covers.
Okay.
And if you get to the mountains, it's too far.
Oh, God. Sister Ru, I'm going to have to get your phone number so I can call you before you could tell me what you were talking about.
The whole purpose is opening up your Bible, turning the pages.
I'm going to have to call her now.
Wait, hey, what you need is a good version of the Bible. They use them and thumb them.
Can you get the person? I've been married for a long time. She can tell me what's going on.
There's two good versions of the Bible, the Use Them and Thumb Them and the Philippians. You know, your Philippian.
That's right.
I like to use them and thumb them now.
Use your thumbs. Use your fingers and thumbs.
Yes.
All right.
Or flip the pages. You
got it
first. You can tap your screen.
Amen.
You can even stroll.
Amen.
Well, our special prayer is for Brother Six on this evening. It is not his our iPhone that's hindering him, but it is his vocal cords. And so,
okay,
we don't want y'all to think that the iPhone is so bad, you know. So it is just his voice is challenged today, and so we pray his speedy recovery, that all is well with him, and we pray that his overall psyche is at least at an 8, amen. His mental health, amen. Because we are still praying for our mental health; it is very important. That will be in my conversation tomorrow. You want to tune in because we're going to touch on some things tomorrow, 6 things that we must be fully aware of and understanding purpose. We're going to get into it. So Lord, say the same. That's the topic we'll come from. Unless he says something different, then we obey him.
Amen.
Amen.
And speaking of messages, Pastor Bonnet, I want to remind everybody and hope they join us this Thursday night for the tag team, the Six Eyes Preachers tag team, as we'll be focusing on Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 to 32, specifically verse 26. So if you want to get an idea where we're headed, you can look that up in your Bibles. And then join us this Thursday, Jumbo Braille Program, 9 p.m., here only at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And you could check that out and see with the four preachers how they tag team up on that one text. Amen.
Philippians 4?
No, it's Ephesians chapter
4. Ephesians.
Oh, it's Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 to 32. But the key verse we're keying up on is verse 26.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 4, 22.
23 to 32.
Yeah, we need to get our tablets out. Make sure that we're going to copy all that off. You know, make sure we get everything that people say. It'd probably be really good.
All right, thanks, Sister Ruthie. Amen.
Amen.
And while Pastor Bonnet is getting that all written down just so that he remembers, if you wish to get a copy of this program or any of the programs here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, just remember you could go to your smartphone or tablet, go down there where it says podcast, click that, and then in the search box type in Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. Click enter. When we pop up there, then just click subscribe, and you'll have us on your smartphone or tablet. If you have an Android or Apple device, you'll need to first download the iHeartRadio app. Once you've done that, go to iHeartRadio, click that, then inside their search box, you type in Six Eyes Radio, as in the previous example, and then once we pop up there, then you click subscribe, and you'll have us on your Android or Apple device. And if you wish to help keep shows like this one on the air, remember, radio for you may be totally free, but for us it does have a cost, and we would appreciate a love gift from you. So there are several methods. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com. Enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, is greatly appreciated, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Amen.
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 Okay, you got Amen. That scripture down, Pastor Bonnet?
Absolutely.
Okay, so because the way the roster is going to run off, just so that everybody also can know, is we will have Dr. Doug Quick starting us out, then Pastor Bonnet will follow him up, and then after Pastor Bonnet, he will pass the mic off to me, and then I will be passing off, of course, the mic to Timothy Groover to end the tag team for his final part, and he will give us the invitation at the end. And then we will have, of course, closing comments and any questions from you, our listeners. So you'll want to join us there on Thursday. That's going to be a great time. And as the listeners have requested, we will be doing this more than just this time this year. We'll be doing it several times throughout the year. And there have been a couple of topics requested, so we'll use those to kind of guide us as to what we'll do for each topic. Amen.
Amen.
So who's got the chicken in the basement here?
I need the chicken in the grease. Stop playing with me. I don't cook that bird. Stop playing. I'm be playing with the chicken. Now stop. Cut that foolishness out. Cook the bird. I don't need him in the basement. I'm trying to get him in the belly, but I need him cooked.
Now we're going to cook a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have our fried chicken.
I need the gospel bird. That's what it is. The gospel bird.
Right.
All right. Hallelujah.
Nothing like the gospel bird. Y'all say what you want to say. Yeah. Ain't nothing like the gospel bird.
See, that's the good thing. See, having the chicken in the basement, see, the idea is he gets the gospel before he gets cooked.
Yes, Brother G. Yeah, all
Friday.
Now, here's an odd one. You guys ever hear of German fried potatoes?
German
fried potatoes. My grandfather made. Yeah, that's what I make sometimes.
Send me the recipe. You know, I like looking up stuff on how to cook stuff.
And my husband makes the best bacon milk gravy, too. Don't you, darling?
No, I sure give it a shot.
Well, you want to do some recipes on here. You know what?
Let's do them.
You think y'all need a contest with the phone? We'll do a contest with the best meal. A best meal. And we're going to do Zoom. And come on Zoom together. And we're going to do our finished product. We ain't got to do all that.
Well, you need a separate account for Zoom.
Okay. But we can still just do our best video or best meal. And who, because I don't know who know how to cook on here. Who know how to cook on here?
Now, first lady, there's
cooking. I do.
Then there's burning. Now, when say you burning, that means you cooking for real. You got, cooking with gas.
I put my foot in it, baby. I put my foot in it.
Yeah, right now.
So that's where the toenail clippings came.
I'll do my
from.
Best,
okay.
Amen.
He's so wrong.
I'll do my
man.
Best.
Glory, hallelujah.
Put me on last.
But
he's wrong. Okay.
My wife and I wouldn't be able to do that with video type stuff because we don't have any way of doing that.
That's right. We don't do we sweet. Yes, we could do that, but we could actually send it in, and maybe somebody could read it or something. Yeah, somebody could figure it out. Nikhail, she probably knows how to figure it out, and then I'll just make sure she gets the recipe somewhere.
Nikhail, you got it.
I have what now?
You help us.
You are one that's so organized, sweetheart. And you have everything. I'm just trying to get to my motherly thing.
I got you.
Please get us organized that we're going to have this cook-off, baby.
Okay.
They've been trying to get me to do a cook-off since I was trying to do a cook-off.
I heard about that, man.
We're trying to get you to bring them recipes online.
So let's go ahead and do this cook-off.
No, we just want you to bring them recipes. Give those.
Yeah,
recipes.
I know. Some of them I can't release yet.
We're talking about Lady Bonnet. That's what Six told Lady Bonnet.
Oh, okay.
Nah, he wants you to give up them recipes. Stop being stingy.
I didn't give up my recipes. Let me tell you something. I'm going to the grave with it. I'm going to the grave.
That's the problem right there. See, that's a shame before the Lord. That's a shame before the Lord. That's all that's said. I'm done preaching for today. But that's a shame. That's all I'm gonna say. Shame.
Okay.
Shame.
All right.
I got cherry cheesecake, and that's a mountain to sit on a plate. Remember, Ken? You always call it that. Yeah, I make cherry cheesecake. It's off a can of condensed milk, and I made that thing ever since, and everybody likes it.
Me and you, oh, my God, carrot cheesecake.
that's her favorite.
That's her
favorite. You know, that's my favorite. Yeah, I love cheesecake. I love carrot cake.
Okay.
Oh, carrot cake's good too, darling.
Yeah, I have a good cake recipe.
You done messed her brain up right now.
Huh?
Okay, I want to ask First Lady. I think it's an echo on the line.
No, that was me just testing my mic there. Pastor Bonnet, you're just going to have to go ahead and preach that message on greed.
You better not be sitting over there throwing rocks.
Okay, Brother Ken. Go ahead and throw that joke
on
there.
Oh, man, we got white stuff out
Brother
here.
Ken,
I mean, we got the S word.
That joke on there now. You know you're wrong.
Yeah, I know he over there throwing rocks. You know how you be talking about that 10-gallon cup?
Why I throw rock at my own plate?
No, brother, again.
Miss, you can throw rock.
You are dead smoking. So I'm going to get into the middle of the head, and I'm going to take them out just like David did. And when he took the giant out with that sling, and took that giant out and swing back and took that joker out.
Hey, this is a non-violent program. Lady Bonnet, time out. Go in your car. Go in your car. This is a non-violent program. We're not advocating violence.
Okay.
This is a non-violent program. There may be small kids listening. We're not advocating any violence. You go over there and time out.
We are laughing, baby. We're laughing. You can't want to
joke. Talking about going to take that joke out. Go in time out, lady. Trying to take out my friend. No. Ken, don't worry about it. I got your back, sir. I'm not afraid.
Hey, my grandma Sue would be a great idea for that recipe. Yeah.
And hey, she forgets. I preach on Wednesday nights. I can do my own message on not being selfish.
Are you and Pastor Bonnet could do like a tag team sometime together, and you guys work that out, you know?
Well, I pray that you guys have a blessed and happy Sunday. I've got other things to attend to this afternoon. So may you have a blessed afternoon, week, and take care.
All right.
Thank
you. Thank
you.
I'm out of here. Our prayers have already been mentioned. Good night, all. Good night, one. Good night, all. Love you all. See you all tomorrow night.
Amen.
God bless everybody.
God bless you all.